What the hell was that?
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah. Are you there?
We gotta get rid of this kook. I got an idea.
Greatness at its finest.
Welcome to the Rodcast.
Wonder who that could be.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
And hornfm.com.
Is there a problem back there?
Where the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. We like to call it a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it. Football Friday edition of the Rodcast. Oh, I forgot. It's also a Ric Flair Friday edition of the Rodcast. Woo! It does feel good. It's therapeutic. It's cathartic.
Just let it out.
In your car, you're in traffic, you know, it's Friday. Woo! And honestly, a lot of y'all should be in a good mood. Y'all should be woo-ing right now. Because last night, Valentine's Day, it should a night for lovers, a day for lovers. You know, you should have got some loving.
How'd them hens turn out?
My Cornish game hens were excellent. Thank you for asking. They were excellent. Little dinner outside on the backyard patio there.
Boom. Yeah, that's right. You got the heaters?
Didn't even need them. It was so nice out there. Really didn't even need them.
You know what I mean? There was enough heat going out there on that patio.
It was nice. It was real good. It's real nice out there. You know what I mean? So, great Valentine's Day. I hope you had a great Valentine. How was your Valentine's Day? All right.
Oh, it was eventful.
Eventful? I heard you cleaned on Valentine's Day. You did some cleaning?
Clean the floors and then
clean together. Okay. Yeah, there you go. I feel you. But good for you. That was very productive. You know what I mean? That's very productive.
A lot of plumbing.
You got to kill two birds with one stone. Got to clean some things, we got to get some things done.
Yeah, usually Thursday is like field day, man. I like to have a clean house for the
What'd
week.
What'd you do with the kid?
He went to mother-in-law. He went to grandma, to Nana's.
There you go.
That's been the best thing that's happened, man. She followed us down from Maryland. I thought I was in trouble, man. Nope.
No, Nana's the real MVP. Yeah, y'all owe her. You do more than that. You owe her. All right, so we'll get to some other items that are in a freaky Friday kind of feel. We'll get to my favorite story of the week, really of the month so far. We'll get to that because it's actually the conclusion of the story. But I want to talk about it with my man Wags, and actually, it's been a topic of discussion on the morning show with B&E. We'll get into that. The AAF approaching Colin Kaepernick has been a big topic of discussion, so we'll address that coming up here in the first segment. Trevor Bauer's comments, about his his status with Major League Baseball as a free agent and his suggestion to fix free agency in Major League Baseball is pretty fascinating. And actually there are other examples of it in major American pro sports. So we'll get to that too coming up, because Trevor Bauer recently said he thinks that he would like to, for the rest of his career, sign 1-year deals. Just 1 year. You know what I mean? Kind of 1-year prove it deals. And it actually may be a way for the players to correct the market. So we'll talk about that too coming up, and then we'll talk about Major League Baseball's stale free agency so far, where the top 100 players have still gone unsigned. There's also Texas baseball, which starts up today there in Louisiana, down there with my swamp people, and for the Raging Cajuns, they're going to start off their season. So we'll get some of that discussion in coming up in the second hour. We'll also go behind the burnt orange curtain and talk Texas football. Yesterday, I may have given Longhorn fans a little anxiety with my take on the Texas defense. I did a little bit deeper diving into the amount of turnover that the Texas defense is going to have this year, which may be unprecedented in the internet age, actually. All right, or at least in the most modern age of college football recruiting and college football. So we'll get into that too coming up a little bit later on in the show. There's also there's an interesting story out that you know, that in the NBA that we also have to talk, because the Anthony Davis trade demand has now had, you know, the domino effect of it has now, you know, affected the front office of the Pelicans, and they've made some moves that also we'll get into and talk about the news notes and nuggets from the NBA. All right, so you can always hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. You can hit me up via Twitter at Rod Babers, and the Twitterverse, my man Wags, is at Not the Fake Wags. All right, my favorite story, honestly, of the of the week has been the story about, and Wags, you are familiar with the story, the Mountain Lion Man. The Mountain Lion Man is a fascinating story, and I'm sure by now everybody's heard about this guy. So there's this guy who is, you know, he's jogging. He has a three mile run that he takes every day. His name is Travis Kaufman, and apparently, you know, this morning he took a different route than he usually takes. The morning that he was attacked by a mountain lion. apparently it was like a teenage mountain lion. It wasn't a full-grown mountain lion. So I don't even know what a teenage mountain lion is. They said it was
still like
90
pounds or something, right?
No, people have, that's, yeah, people have actually.
That Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, they said it was like 35 to 40 pounds. Yeah.
It was like my dog.
They said the necropsy, which is, I guess, the autopsy, said the lion that attacked Kaufman was male, 4 or 5 months old, weighing 35 to 40 pounds. So everybody's 90 pounds. 90-pound animal would have killed him.
Oh, he killed a lion!
This dude is 5'10", 155 pounds. All right, so he's 5'10", Travis Kaufman. He's 5'10", 155 pounds. I mean, that dude
already getting
skinny.
One of his tall tales. Didn't it happen today? Tall tales already happened.
Yeah, so, you know, it's still a great story, because he was jogging, the thing attacked him and, like, jumped on his back, grabbed a hold of his wrist, and then it was like a scene from The Revenant. You know what I mean? You just got to wrestle with, you know, he wrestled with a bear, a little different for Leo. But, yeah, you got to wrestle with this thing. It's trying to kill you. Now, here's my theory. Because people have been talking, because I was going to talk about this on a sports show. Me and my friend got into a sports related discussion about this, and it was like, well, what could any, you know, what athlete you think would have been able to, you know, also survive this attack? And I was like, well, every pro athlete you know would survive this. This thing is like a chocolate lab. It's like an irate lab. I mean, it's a 30 to 40 pound mountain lion.
I'll eat it.
If you get taken down by a 30 to 40 pound mountain lion. Man, that might be
you
just survival
supposed,
of the fittest.
You wasn't supposed to be here.
Yeah, that's Darwin. That's Darwinism. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't want it bad enough. It wanted it bad than you. The reason that 30, 40-pound mountain lion attacked this 5'10", 155-pound dude, because it thought it could take him. If LeBron James is jogging through that same trail, that thing goes, oh, hell no, I'm not attacking that thing.
What is that?
That thing goes, oh, what is that? Oh, hell no, I'm not attacking that. It saw that dude who was 155 pounds at 5'10", was like, I think I can take it.
That's a tasty dish right there.
That mountain lion went, I think I can take it. And you know what? The mountain lion might do that with me too. It might see me jogging, you know what I mean, through the trails and go, I think I can take the dude.
He's supposed to be in the forest.
I'm 5'8 right now, 175, 180 pounds. It might, I can take that. Oh, it would be sadly mistaken. I would murder that thing.
Dude, I guarantee you would find a different speed though.
Until it was time to
turn around.
I wish a 30 to 40 pound mountain lion would try to attack me. It better be the daddy. Better be the daddy or the mama. They come after me. Cause you know what? I'm gonna take it out with me. The scene that y'all gonna find is me and a dead mountain lion. Be like, well, I guess they wrestled to the death. That's gonna be the story. Cause they ain't taking me out. I'm taking one of them with me.
Aaron asked me what I would use in that situation. I don't know. I would look on the ground for anything, man, but I think I would just start biting it. I would just start trying to eat it.
I don't even know what I'm going to do. It depends. I don't know. Because he choked it out. He found, they say basically he got the hind legs.
Neck or something.
And he's got it. Basically picture, you know, he's got the hind legs of it. He's shifted the weight back and he's got his right foot on the throat of it.
He's hurting.
And he's just, picture UFC, MMA move. We just choking it out. You know what I mean?
Picturing dodgeball, Dwight Dwight, what's Dwight Goodman wrestling the bull by the horn?
I give him credit. It's a great story. It's awesome. I love him. He's an American hero for it. He'll probably get invited to the White House. That's what America's about. Something trying to take you out like that.
He was bashing the head and it wouldn't let go.
You know, it's a mountain lion. I mean, it's 30 to 40 pounds. It can wrestle. He's
trying to eat.
People said it was 90. If it was 90 pounds, it'll take him out. Like, it ain't
gonna lie. That's the first thing I heard. 90 to 100. I was like, all right.
A 90 pound animal is taking you out. A 90 pound dog would be hard to, you know what I mean? You know, to subdue. It's just 90. Yeah, 30 to 40. Oh man, I'm a mash that thing. That thing better
toss
watch
you
out.
Off the cliff.
And it would come after me. I think it went after that guy though because he was small. And people were like, oh, what athlete would be able to kill? Man, only athlete it would go after is like Jose Altuve. You know what I mean? It wouldn't go after.
He said he was running too, right?
Yeah.
So he was tracking. Yeah, he was tracking his speed, his pace.
It's not going after KD. Man, look at KD and be like, what the hell? Oh, hell no, I'm not going after that. It wouldn't go after any foot. It's not going after Leighton Vander Esch. Leighton Vander Esch running that trail looks like a beast and a bear. It's like, I'm not going after that dude. No. It went after that dude because he was small on the trail. Like, it would go after me. I was small on the trail, which is why I run in the urban areas. I'm not going. I don't want to run in the forest. I don't want to run. I'm not supposed to be there.
You look for a rock, maybe?
Like I would say, as a black man, I don't want to be in those kind of I'm not trying to be in that situation. I don't ever want to be in a situation where I would have to confront a wild animal. That's why I run on streets. You see me running right off of Congress, right off of First Street, Brody.
Well-lit
areas, man. That's what, I'm not gonna run through the forest. I'm not doing it. And not gonna happen. Nope. Well, that's why you stay away from
it. I do feel you get stimulated a little bit more.
Oh,
like
sure.
When I go running through the woods, I get a little bit more stimulated than I do in an urban area.
I went to Glacier National Park and it was gorgeous, beautiful. I was like, man, I would love to actually run, through Glacier one. That'd be awesome. And I was thinking to myself, hell no. What if something they have bear spray when you come to the park, like, hey, just in case you want some bear spray, you may need it. Like, literally, that's one of their hottest sellers. Is when you go to the national park, like, you need some bear spray? You probably want some. Just in case. Because there are bears, and they just kind of hang out, and they may just come say hello. So I'm like, oh, I'm not running through a place where I need bear.
Well,
I got to have bear spray on me as I run? No, nope, not going to happen.
That's the first sign of me leaving.
That's why I'm out. I'm not trying to have that. For him, good for that guy. I'm glad he survived it. And I think he just got out of the hospital and he had one press conference. Travis Kaufman, an American hero. But I think I would like to think that I would have survived that attack too. Why ask you to survive it?
My money's on you.
I know
My
everybody I think that would have survived it. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm not hanging out with nobody who wouldn't have survived it. I don't want to, unless you're like old and feeble or you're a child. If you're one of my boys, if you're in my crew, you would have survived.
We're gonna feast on it.
You know what I mean? You're gonna have a story to tell. You gotta have some wounds and some battle wounds, and you might lose a finger or, two, three. You know what I mean? Who knows? Who knows how it's gonna work out, but hey, I ain't letting no 30 to 40 pound animal of any kind kill me. That's a great question. What 30 to 40 pound animal you think could kill you?
I don't know. It'd have to be a ferocious.
I mean, I'm 108. I'm not letting some 30 to 40 pounds kill me. That thing was 30 to 40 pounds.
Wolverines?
Wolverines are bad. Man, that's a good one. I think I survived that because I do have some speed to run away at one point. Like, I still am agile. I'm not Antonio Brown. But at one point when I get at 30 to 40, I think I can sling something 30 to 40 pounds. You know what I mean? Get it off me and be able to run. I mean, my labs are like 65. 30 to 40 pounds? What animal 30 to 40 pounds can kill you? That's a good question. I don't know.
You have to be so agile that it can get up around your neck or something like that, jump up
that's
on
true.
You.
That's true. It's got to be able to get to
your
neck.
You.
And that's the thing. He didn't let it get to his neck because he put his – that's why
with
he got
the,
his
with
wrist.
The forearm, right?
Because he put
the
his forearm.
Up.
It was going for the neck. It launched at the neck. He had some great reflexes because he turned around and as soon as
well,
he saw
dude,
it –
dude, we are – I argue the, this. We are animals. In our simplest form, we are animals, man. Yeah. All this other stuff around society, it complicates things.
I love that. Why, this society? You sound like George Costanza from Seinfeld.
That's what we are, man.
We're living in a society.
This gated community called society that we're in, it complicates things.
I love
a lot.
These stories, though, that test the human, that test human endurance and the human condition. You know what I mean? Like you said, at its most primal form. I do. I admire that because I've never, I think, okay, just one story. Now I'll move on to sports after this. I was in Idaho. See, when a black man goes to Idaho, is when
just
you have
on this
stories
recent
like this.
Trip? This
no.
Trip?
This was a couple of trips ago.
Okay.
So I'm in Idaho hanging out, and my girlfriend's mom owns, like, she's got like 40 acres up there, or at least she used to. She just sold it, actually. And we were hanging out up there, and there I'm walking down their driveway, which is probably it's like a half a mile long. It's a long, you know, driveway, and they run back and forth on it, and that's where the kids, they let them kind of run down. There's a gate down there at the end and everything. So, but it's still a huge amount of property. So there are all types of wild things. So this deer, comes out. I mean, a big deer comes out, and I'm walking with her nephew, which is probably, you know, 4 or 5, something like that. We're just kind of walking down. They got an old dog is there with us too. There is also her other nephew, and he's probably 8 or 9. You know what I mean? So I'm just walking down with the kids, hanging out, having a good time, and the two dogs that were with us, there was another dog too, Buddy, and he's a German Shorthair, runs into the woods barking, and I see a deer, and I'm like, oh man, that's crazy. Why did they run into this? So I'm yelling at the dogs, hey, come back, come back. And this deer stands up on its hind legs and starts to beat the hell out of this dog. I mean, it was like it was boxing. It looked like Floyd Mayweather. That thing stood up and was like, poop, poop, and it started like hitting the dogs on top of the head, like just pounding them on top of the head. And both of the dogs basically got, I mean, they got whipped. I mean, and they started, and they started to, you know, to retreat, if you will. And
did it have a full, I imagine it had a full rack, right?
No.
The deer didn't have any?
I don't know. I don't think it did. I think it was a mom.
Good thing you
someone
didn't
said
have
it was
that,
the
man.
Mom, and oh. It was the mom, and there were some babies
in the
woods. Yeah.
What do you call little baby deer?
But the thing, the deer started coming at me. It started coming like it was like what next threat? Let's go. And I was probably, you know, 40 yards away from it. I'm looking. I'm like, and I got kids with me. I got little babies. I'm like, oh, and it starts like, you know, kind of at a little steady pace walking towards me. I'm like, what the. This is why black men don't hang out in the woods. What the hell is going on? This thing is coming at us. So I got to get the kids away. So I'm yelling, hey, we got to get the kids away. And so I got, you know, I'm running away with the kids. And I'm like, okay, so if this thing, I'm speaking to myself, if this thing comes after me, I'm going to have to straight up, I gotta protect the damn kids at all. I mean, I can't let something happen to the kids.
Gotta go, Leo.
And I'm thinking I gotta go. This thing, because it's steady coming. I'm like, because I can only go so fast. I got little kids with me, and I'm like trying to get up the driveway. And this thing is, and I'm like, okay. And it's pretty soon it stops, and then, you know, I keep
dude,
going.
I can feel you now. I can Bro, feel what
I
you
was
going through now, just off of your reaction.
I was thinking to myself, okay, if it gets within 10 yards, I'm not going to wait for it to charge us, and then we with these kids. Like, I'm going to go confront
you
got to
be the aggressor,
it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I was and actually at the time, her sister was coming down and trying to get the kids, because I was yelling like somebody was getting murdered. I was screaming. Like, I really was. I was screaming bloody. They're making fun of me now, because I was, yeah! I was literally, and you know, my voice is
that
like
is
this.
Not, but you are out of your element.
I'm out of my element. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm used to dudes in the hood with guns and stuff. I'm not used to animals coming after me like that. And they claim this. We've never seen that before. I was like, man, I seen that thing go after the dogs. They were messed up. Dogs had wounds and were bleeding. But it never, nothing ever came of it. But I mean, that's the only time I was like, man, I should have had a gun on me. I need a gun. Like, if I had a gun, I'd have been good. But I didn't. And I was,
no, but you felt your instincts take over, though.
Oh, man. Dude, I was gonna have to throw down with a deer. I was thinking to myself, I'm gonna have to box a deer, and I have no experience. I don't know how to. Should I just tackle the deer? Like, what should I do? I knew how it was gonna fight me. It's gonna stand up on its hind legs and try to get me. I don't know what I was gonna do.
I tried to get to the back of him and break his neck.
Yeah, I was in my head. I was like, okay. I was like strategizing. All right, this thing comes. I'm gonna try to tackle. Okay, what?
We'll go for a ride.
Yeah, I'm like, all right. Should I try to get the neck of it? Yeah, I kept thinking neck area. I'm like, man, it was crazy. That was. Yeah, so usually I'm not in situations like that, but that was probably as close
go
as I've
the
come
jugular,
recently.
Man.
Yeah, there you go. Random story. Sorry, that's my favorite freaky story of the week. I love that story. It's a great story. All right,
that's why I love Fridays.
Fight or flight. Yeah, Friday you can talk about stuff like that. All right, let's talk about. it took a way more time than I'm sure the Specs text line is lit up with people who want to respond to that random story. But anyway, let's get to the AAF reaching out to Colin Kaepernick, because I think it's a interesting conversation, and I think it's a big deal for them, and I think it's really good that they did it. I think it's smart on their behalf. It shows you a lot of things about the AAF. Number one, the AAF is all about improving the product and trying to make the product better. Because they do need better quarterback play, and you know, think what you will of Colin Kaepernick, it's still, you know, he's still probably an upgrade of what they currently have at quarterback in the AAF. It was the quarterback play was abysmal, and yet still, you know, people enjoyed the football product. That's a good sign for them. So Pro Football Talk and other media outlets are reporting that not only did the AAF talk to Colin Kaepernick, but the word from Barry Wilner of the Associated Press is that former 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick asked for $20 million to consider playing. $20 million. Obviously, it's $20 million. He's not going to get paid $20 million even in the league, but he's definitely not going to get paid $20 million in the AAF where those guys are paid non-guaranteed contracts, 3 years, $250,000. You know, something like 80-something plus, 80-plus thousand a year. He's not going to get that money. And he knows that. And his people know that. So I think that move for Colin Kaepernick is all about, hey, I don't want to play at this level. I'm still suing the NFL for collusion. By the way, he's not going to win that collusion case. We knew that anyway. But now that Eric Reed, his, you know, one of his, I would say, probably his closest allies in the protest during the national anthem, the safety for the 49ers, who is now the safety for the Panthers, who signed a 3-year, $22 million deal, and is still, I believe, does choose to stay in the locker room or whatever during the protest. That basically is the NFL's trump card, no pun intended there, in the collusion case. It's like, well, he was a guy that you all, because he also was suing the NFL too for collusion. I think I don't know if it's still going on. I'm sure it is, but that hurts his Colin Kaepernick's case. And at this point, it's symbolic more than anything. So I don't know if it even matters. He's not trying to win that case. I think it's more symbolic than anything. You know how I feel. I think Colin Kaepernick can be a second or third string quarterback in the NFL. I think it's ridiculous. So they are blackballing him. But the fact that he doesn't want to play in the AAF, to me, doesn't say anything other than the cause for Colin Kaepernick has grown. To it means more to him than his career. The cause means more to him than his career. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, you know, and that's why he has the Nike deal, is because his cause means more to him than his current career. If he was all about, you know, football, of course, he would play for the AAF. That's not where he's at. And does he have a case for, you know, that, you know, he could have played in the NFL? I'm sure that he has a case, but that doesn't mean he's going to win it. And so it's one of those things that people are getting on him, saying, this proves that, you know, Colin Kaepernick, he's a fraud, that he never really wanted to play. Colin Kaepernick hasn't had a workout or a tryout in the NFL since he left the NFL, since he was released by the 49ers. He's talked to teams, but no team has worked him out. So they don't really know what he's had his own workouts where he's working out and YouTubing it and stuff like that. He hasn't had a team come in and work him out. The Seahawks were going to work him out, and they decided not to. So it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's Cap, you know, right now, I think he is more of a activist than he is an athlete. And, you know, that's where he is in his growth and development. Like, you know, I mean, his evolution. And there's nothing wrong with that. So, and it's not going to benefit him to go to the AAF, he believes, and light up the AAF. The NFL's still not going to sign him. Even if he goes to the AAF and he becomes a huge blockbuster success in the AAF, they're still not going to sign Colin Kaepernick. He knows that. We all know that, too. You know what I mean? We all know that, too. All right, I got a great suggestion for the AAF, and it was I want to make sure I get the Twitter user credit, too, that we'll get into next segment, because the AAF and the XFL are basically going to be, you know, they're going to be competing with one another. And that was a great idea from a Twitter head about the AAF and the XFL and how they should link up. And it's one of the best ideas I've heard. I think it'd be really, really good. It could provide, you know, some a compliment to championship football. So to the NFL and to college football. So we'll talk about that coming up. We'll also get into some Texas football discussion. Texas baseball starts their season tonight as well. We'll also jump into some NBA news, notes and nuggets, big news in the NBA. So we'll address it all that and more right here on the Freak Flag Friday edition of the Ridecast right here on the Horn 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Ridecast. All right, I apologize about my rant about the mountain lion earlier today. I went way too far on that. Man. Yeah, it was random though. It was very random, and yeah, I apologize about that. But it was an interesting discussion. All right, so now we're talking about Colin Kaepernick because thank you guys on the Specs text line because you guys were keeping me abreast of the situation. So, and Charles Robertson is reporting this. My man. Marcus sent it to me. Marcus H. sent it to me. Said Charles Robinson tweeted out, in a stunning move strongly signaling a financial settlement between Colin Kaepernick and the NFL, Yahoo Sports has learned the QB has withdrawn his collusion complaint against the NFL. Sources previously said Kaepernick would only withdraw if a lucrative settlement was secured. So we don't know yet if it was a settlement reached. Because if they're saying he withdrew his complaint, then either maybe they cut him a check, you know what I mean, he got paid, or he's about to get signed by an NFL team, and he knows, he's like, no, well, are y'all going to sign me? He's like, yeah, we're going to sign you. We just need you to withdraw that complaint, because we can't sign you with you suing the league.
That's need him to do what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so I don't know which one. That's different than them reaching a settlement. It indicates they reached a settlement, but we don't know that. Could be Kaepernick going, you know what, I'm about to get signed, and he's deciding that he, or at least it was agreed upon, that he can't be suing the NFL. And we all knew that. Can't be suing the NFL. Well, Eric Reed, actually, I think currently, when the Panthers signed him, still was suing the NFL. If I'm not mistaken. Because Eric Reed, the safety for the Panthers, was also in on that collusion suit. So, yeah, I mean, the waters are murky, but we know Kaepernick, he symbolizes more and means more to the movement, if you will, than
he's
Eric
a quarterback. Reed. He's a face.
Yeah, he's the face of it. So we don't know what that means. I'll say this. I like that the AAF went after Colin Kaepernick. I think that was a smart move. And maybe that's the reason we're starting to see some movement on this issue. Maybe it's because the AAF would decide they wanted to improve the product and they want to have the best quarterbacks out there.
Rod, I'm sorry to interrupt. I think you're right. I'm also seeing that Reed is also appearing to be in settlement or settle his grievance case against the NFL as well.
So. Oh, so it's both of them. They're settling both of them? Okay. Well, Eric Reed makes more sense. He just signed a 3-year, $22 million deal.
But I was saying that to piggyback off of what you were saying. Colin Kaepernick might have a deal in hand now, too.
Yeah, I wonder if it's a team.
Speculating.
Yeah.
Speculating.
No, I'm with you. I wonder if a team's ready to sign him. And, hell, it might be Carolina. Think about it. Cam Newton just had surgery. They don't even know if he's going to be available to play early on this year. You got a guy, Colin Kaepernick, who has a similar skill set. Neither one of them are particularly accurate with the football, but, you know, they make up for it in other ways with athleticism and, you know, you can use, different components and different concepts when you have quarterbacks that athletic. Both of them have big arms. You know, so maybe the Carolina Panthers, who just got rid of Jerry Richards from the old regime, all right? We know he had old, antiquated notions about a lot of things. Maybe now they're ready to, jump on the Colin Kaepernick bandwagon, sign him and Eric Reed. And maybe Eric Reed was a test case for them. And Eric Reed worked out so damn good that they went from being a 1-year rental prove it deal to signing him to a 3-year deal. And maybe they wanted to measure the backlash. It wouldn't be nothing like what Colin Kaepernick would, bring to the table or the baggage if he still decides he wants to protest during the national anthem. And to think about it, we know that the NFL does have a policy, and their policy is basically that they don't really have a policy. The new policy of the NFL is they really ignore the issue, and they don't want to have a policy, and they don't want to discuss it. And I wonder if having Colin Kaepernick in the league brings the subject back up. At the time, it's the most polarizing issue the NFL had ever dealt with. All right. Fans were split on it. And the players, to a certain degree, not all, obviously only 1-2% of the players in the end were taking part in the protests. But a lot of the players supported Colin Kaepernick, if not, and I don't think a lot of them would do it openly, but they definitely, you know, approved of or and agreed with a lot of the, of his thoughts and his sentiment. So it's one of those things. The AAF was willing to take it on, which I think is a good move. The NFL, we'll see now if the NFL believes it's, you know, if it's ready to handle the Colin Kaepernick issue. Remember, we talked about it yesterday a little bit. You know, the NBA, even though its players are outspoken and its players have strong beliefs just like Colin Kaepernick, they can get their guys to exhibit that and express that in other ways that don't necessarily hurt the league or cause a polarizing discussion within the league. LeBron, Steph, KD, Popovich, Steve Kerr, you know what I mean? They still go along with the NBA's policy, which is everybody stands for the national anthem. So I wonder if the NFL's ready to have that awkward conversation. You know what I mean? And I, you know, the issue was so polarizing at the time, and I tracked it, man. I said it on this show. I remember it. When, you know, and it was during a presidential race, too, which made it even more polarizing when it happened. When Colin Kaepernick decides to kneel, and then when it becomes a big issue, you can almost track it. It was such a polarizing issue that there's a reason President Trump jumped on it, and when Hillary agreed with Colin Kaepernick's stance, and when Trump disagreed with it, the lead in the poll started to shift. It was I don't know if that was the reason, but it was around the same. It was literally around the same month.
We just had that conversation about how powerful NFL is, man.
Yeah, it was the same month. You go track it yourself. I remember doing the research. It was the same month, and when they were asked about the issue, and Trump took one stand saying, "Oh, you damn right he should stand for the national anthem," and Hillary took the other stance of he should have the right to do whatever he wants to do. That's when it started to shift. And remember the polls? Remember she was had one of the biggest leads, you know, in the history of presidential races and politics. It was like, man, and then a lot of things that shifted, but it was the same time. I'm just saying it was the same time that issue became a political issue. It wasn't just a sports issue. It transcended from the sports space to the front page. It was that polarizing. So I wonder if the NFL is ready to take it on again. We'll see. My guess is that Colin Kaepernick won't play in the NFL again. That somebody cut him a check, and that's why he's pulling out of the lawsuit and that he won't play again. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. You know what I mean? If you have skill, not a lot of things have been able to keep you off an NFL roster. Being openly gay is one. Even though Michael Sam was there, it didn't really stick. And there hadn't been any players since. But I guess we can scratch that off because the NFL, they pushed that. They wanted that to happen. They wanted that to be a trailblazing moment. You know, their guy's been accused of murder and, you know, rape and, you know, beating women and, I mean, anything. That's some really kidnap, all kind of crazy stuff that guys have been accused of that play on NFL rosters. There's not a lot of things that can keep you off an NFL roster. That's why, you know, the Johnny Manziel saga is intriguing and, you know, because he was just a cancer. A guy that's considered, if you have a drug addiction and you're bipolar but undiagnosed, that'll keep you off an NFL roster. Not a lot of things. But Colin Kaepernick, the issue that he decided to champion was so controversial, it kept him off an NFL roster, even though we all know he can be third quarterback for most teams. Can we agree on that? I'm not saying he's got to be a starter. People are like, well, he never wanted to be a starter. Well, no team ever worked him out. So they, you know, they say we had that discussion, but not really. No team really had that discussion. And honestly, you know, there are some teams that he can compete for the starting job at. And nobody even wanted to bring him in to do that. Nobody was willing to do that. But they'll bring in other guys to do it. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see. I don't know where exactly it's going to go. All right, here's a suggestion I saw that was really good for the AAF, even though we know that Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to play in the AAF. They asked Tim Tebow, too, by the way. Tim Tebow said, I'm focused on baseball, so I don't want to play in AAF, which is good for him. And he just got married, so good for Tebow. Oh, is he? No, he's not married yet. He's engaged, which means he's still a virgin. So not good just yet, but it will be good for Tebow. He's not married yet, right?
He didn't seal that yet?
Did he
I
have
thought
the,
he did. I'm going to have
they had the
one.
Wedding?
I thought he sealed the deal.
I thought he was engaged.
Deed.
I didn't know he had the wedding yet. Did he have the wedding? All right, let me know.
So I'm going to check.
We should celebrate when Tim Tebow, when that happened. That's mean, that's... You know what? I want to track his professional athletic career after that, too. I want to see if he gets better or worse.
His performance takes a dip.
Because it might have been his superpower was that he was just saving himself. What if Tim Tebow becomes like just terrible after that? I mean, he's playing baseball.
Man's got a lot of testosterone.
So.
Yeah, we know this.
He's a pretty good baseball prospect right now, too.
He's not releasing any of the testosterone.
He's not releasing any of it. He's not letting y'all have any of it. He's keeping it all to himself. I think the AAF also is going to go after Johnny Manziel. If they're not already going after Johnny, they should. They should go after Johnny and try to buy him out from the CFL. He's not making any money in the CFL. He can make the AAF money because people would come see Johnny. I did not mean to rhyme that like Dr. Seuss either. But it does. It makes sense. All right, so here's the best idea I heard from about the AAF and the XFL. They got a lot of good ideas floating around. So when the XFL comes out in 2020, the AAF will still be around. This Twitter head, BMag86, suggests the winner of the championship from both leagues, the XFL and the AAF, they should play one another. In a game, like the ultimate championship game, they go on to suggest that the team that wins the AAF XFL championship should play the worst team in the NFL. I don't really like that suggestion. I do like the suggestion of the XFL and the AAF playing a championship game, but I don't like the idea of them playing the NFL, and that won't happen anymore.
So what happens if they beat the team in the NFL? Is it like a relegation system? Does the NFL team get relegated down?
That's
kind of
what they're suggesting. Like a soccer thing where, if the NFL team loses, which they say will probably never happen, they get demoted to the lesser league, and the team that beats them gets promoted to the NFL.
I like it.
It would be hilarious. It would be chaos. But you think about the NFL team, they wouldn't tank it then. You know they wouldn't tank
it. There's no way in hell that
you
relegation
get the best
process
of them.
Does not allow you
yeah,
to tank.
You know what I mean? Like, that's good.
Oh, hell, we going to the minor league?
That's good. You know what? No, and that truly would mean – that goes back to my idea that the NFL, ultimately, we buy up both leagues and make them a part of their developmental, experimental system.
I think that's the best route to go. I think that's how you'll get the best player development all throughout the each
league. All throughout of it. Yeah, I agree. And the best referees and experimental leagues and technology and all that kind of stuff. But that's – I saw a suggestion that was really good that the last two teams in the NFL, last place teams in the NFL, they should play each other for the number one overall pick every year. And I like that idea, too. That's a sexy idea to avoid tanking. It's like, you still got to play for it.
It's skin in the game, man.
Yeah, you still got to play for it, man. You want the number one overall pick? Okay. Play them for it. How bad do you want it? I like stuff like that. I need the NFL to start thinking about, you know, kind of wacky, crazy ideas like that. All right, we'll come back. We'll discuss crazy, wacky ideas like that and more, but also we'll talk Trevor Bauer and his idea, which is wacky and crazy, but crazy like a fox. It may be genius. All that and more right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Okay, per our conversation earlier about the, what's his name? Travis Kaufman is his name from Colorado, who was jogging and attacked by a 30 to 40-pound teenage mountain lion, and he beat it to death. He did not let that thing take him out. It's a beautiful story. It is. I mean, it's just great. All right, man versus nature. All right,
National Geographic
most primal
stuff,
form. It
man.
Is. It's great. And I ran on a rant randomly because I was like, well, I you know what? If I would like to think that if I was attacked by a 30 to 40 pound mountain lion, that I'm not dying that day. No, I might lose a finger or two or three. I might be, you know, I might be messed up for life. Like he could take a chunk out of my face or so. I don't know what's gonna happen in that fight. But I'm not dying that day. Like, it's going down. I'm not dying alone. We both going to die. It's going to be me and him or her. It was a male mountain lion. We going to die. And I made a statement that, I think I'm regretting now. Because the spec sex line always makes me regret a lot of my hot takes. I said, any 30 to 40 pound animal, I'm pretty sure that I'm going to survive that animal attack. 30 to 40 pound animal. ambulance driver made me rethink it. He says, brother, if a mountain lion comes after you, it's looking for dark meat, number one. It's probably true. He says, but monkeys can kill you. He says, and I'm not a monkey fan. I am a monkey fan just like Jerry. But somebody else, I got several people on the Spectacles on that said a monkey can weigh 30 to 40 pounds and, yeah, will rip my face off probably. Yeah, I don't know. Something about monkey strength. I've heard monkeys are extremely strong for their size. So, okay. I will say there is a caveat. That, okay, there's an exception to my 30 to 40-pound animal rule. Yes, a monkey could probably kill me. It's 30 to 40 pounds. But I will say this, all right? Here is my rebuttal. As a black man, I'll never be in a situation where a monkey can attack me. Never. Never. I confidently say, somebody on the Specs text line said, what about a shark, Rod B? I was like, yeah. I'll never in my life. I've had all of my white friends go, hey, you want to go scuba diving, man?
Let's go swim with sharks.
Yeah, let's go. Oh, man, we can go out here and go swim with the sharks and go diving here. I'm like, nope. I respect Mother Nature too much. No, I don't want to swim with stingrays and sharks. No, I'll never be in that position. Yes, a shark 30 to 40 pounds would probably mess me up. I would never be in that position. I never have to worry about that in my life. I never have to worry about a monkey eating my face or just clawing my face off. Never.
Plus, you
never
go in the water, you lose your ability to defend yourself.
No, I'll never do that. So those are great points, but I was thinking selfishly about, you know, me, and I was like, I'd never be in that situation. Never. I would never, ever be in a situation where a monkey would be able to do that. But you're right. Monkeys are very powerful, and I respect the monkey. There you go. So our discussion that we were
stay
having.
Stay in your element.
Stay in your lane, as LeVar Ball would say. All right. Something else we didn't talk about, since wrap up our discussion with the AAF. Here's the biggest development that the AAF is, in my opinion, going to trailblaze the path for. It's sports gambling. I saw this story that New Jersey has had legalized sports betting for 7.5 months, and they have generated $1.6 billion. In bets placed, or that's how much money in bets have been placed. Here's the key, though. 80% of those are online. 1.6 billion in 7.5 months, 80% of it online. DraftKings pulled in 7 million, FanDuel pulled in about 7 million. So it's people, and remember, with the AAF, they have their own app. They have the AAF's pitch app, where they're gonna give viewers and customers the ability. I don't know if it's online yet. I haven't checked it out. Maybe it will be or it should be. Will give customers and viewers the ability to live stream a game while also betting on pretty much anything. You can bet on the velocity of a quarterback's pass, bet on the speed of a running back. You can bet on players' heart rates. Bettors will be able to wager on data produced by players wearing sensors that the company's tech team will collect, relay, and use immediately to update in-game gambling odds. So that's the key. That's what the AAF is. That's the real moneymaker. Follow the money. That's really what the AAF is all about. And that's why the NFL is like, yeah, we want a connection, because y'all test that out. Be our little test tube for that. Experiment with that. Figure that out. And then once everybody's on, you know, once they kind of work out all the kinks and they get online football betting going in the states where it is legalized, where they can do it, that is, I think, what the NFL is going to want to get their hands on. Now, there are a lot of things the AAF is doing the NFL should steal. I like the Sky Judge, the God Judge they have that can reverse any call or make any call that wasn't made. You know, there are a lot of things. I like the fact they have no PATs and no kickoffs. I think that's cool. I think the NFL can adopt that. But the NFL, more than anything, they want to see how the AAF handles legalized sports betting, because that is the biggest future revenue source for any of the major American pro sports. No question. Okay, we come back. We'll get into the Trevor Bauer thing. I promise you, Trevor Bauer's comments. I think Trevor Bauer's comments actually do relate to the NFL. We'll talk about how the players can reset the market now that the owners in Major League Baseball are resetting the market in free agency. We'll talk about that, all that more, right here on the broadcast. This is the Horn 104.9 and AM 1260.